Founded in 1991 by patients, the FSHD Society is the largest grassroots network of FSHD patients, their families, and research activists. The FSHD Society offers a community of support, news, and information for the millions of people affected by FSHD worldwide. This is FSHD Society Radio. Welcome to the FSHD Society Radio Show. Thanks for being here. And this is the Hot Off the Press episode. It is a little bit of a short conversation we're going to have with a producer of a documentary that was done around Amy Beckyer. As we all know, she's a part of our society, part of our community. And we welcome in the producer of that, and that is Jared Jacobson. Hey, Jared, welcome. Thanks for spending some time with us. A few minutes to talk a little bit about the work you've done with us, or for our community, I should say.
Definitely, yeah. Pleasure to be here. Look forward to our chat here.
Yeah. So the first time I heard of the documentary was more or less the social media plug that FSHD, you know, Society put out there that this was produced. It was about Amy. And then I got the connection that, you know, hey, maybe it'd be a great idea. Let's talk to Jared and kind of get the backstory a little bit. I think our community would love to hear it. And I definitely want to go there for sure. And I know so many do. But first, kind of, I guess, tell us a little bit about yourself and about the production company that you work with.
Yeah. Well, once again, my name is Jared Jacobson. I'm based in San Diego, California. And my production company is called Stephen Jake Productions, which is actually named after my dad, who passed away some years ago. And yeah, so I've done our production company, which is me and a lot of different collaborators that I work with. We've done a lot of, you know, a little bit of everything over the years, and I think you kind of need to do that nowadays with video. Done everything from commercial spots to corporate video to like testimonials, a lot of fiction, you know, a lot of short films, fiction films, narrative films, documentaries, music videos. So yeah, we've kind of, you know, live recordings. Oh. So yeah, we've done a little bit of everything. So, and that's kind of what I love about it, is one day you can be, you know, doing something completely different from the next. So it's always a learning process. And yeah, I guess that's one of the main things I love about the video production.
Yeah. And your production company, Stephen Jake Productions, you have quite a few awards too that is listed that you guys have won.
Well, yeah, thanks. We've been fortunate enough to get some recognition over the years, and that's always great, you know, especially when it means that your work gets seen more. And so it's always a plus to get recognized, for sure. Like I said, mainly because it can lead to, well, just more getting your work out there, getting it seen, which is always a major goal, I think, when you're doing projects like documentaries and such. So, especially in the past few years, I feel like we've really found our rhythm in that regard and have received some good recognition. Yeah.
And you mentioned, yeah, that you have different areas that you kind of work with, commercials and so forth, documentaries. Is there something, though, that you get more excited over one type of project over another? Not to disrespect the other project, but a one that's kind of more like, ooh, yeah, no, hey, I kind of like doing that.
Yeah, I think it kind of, you know, there's the projects, you know, I mean, I try to obviously put 100% into every project I do, especially, you know, obviously when a client hires you, that's what they expect. When I'm doing a lot of the projects that I've done recently, kind of, you know, I term them kind of like passion projects, where I'm directing, producing, it's a project that I've initiated. So I'll kind of speak about that. It seems to go in, I guess I want to say, phases a little bit. Right now, or recently, I've been very into the kind of short documentary format, which is, you know, one of the main things we'll be talking about today, the film I did with, about, you know, and collaborated with Amy on. So lately, I feel like that has really been my passion. I've done a few different short documentaries over the past few years, you know, with, you know, with some interruption, obviously, with COVID. But I think telling those stories ultimately about, you know, and the documentary format, I guess, to answer your question, has been kind of what I've really been working on recently. But I also have some narrative projects in the works, which we may get to.
Nice. Okay. All right. Yeah. I mean, I'm kind of a, as I, people say, oh, it's because I'm like an old man, you know, I start liking documentaries more and more, you know, and either things that are about history or true crime stuff, which I know a lot of people are into that. But in particular, you know, it does get my attention because it is about, you know, real life, and it's an area of life that I maybe didn't know about. Now for Amy's story, I mean, I know a little, I know Amy, I've met her in the past and interacted with her through this format too, having her on the show and stuff, and kind of highlighting her life and the things that she's done. So how did that connection happen between you and Amy, where it equaled, you know, this documentary that was created?
Yeah. So I have I have FSHD history in the sense, you know, I have a history there because it was in my family, specifically growing up with my dad. So I, you know, was very up close and personal, so to speak, with the disease and lived it in the role of, you know, someone living with, well, you know, my father, who had a pretty severe, case, so to speak. You know, he had a really hard time with mobility and everything. So it really affected us as a family in that regard. So years later, years later, I met Amy. My dad had already passed away at that point, and I believe I had seen like a chapter meeting, I believe it was in San Diego, was the first time I met Amy. And so, you know, I saw that it was for family members, you know, and people who had the disease. So I came to the meeting, I met Amy. I really enjoyed it in the sense, because I got to meet people, and it kind of, you know, just really resonated with me from all the experiences with my, you know, with my dad. And it just felt like a really good experience to be there. And so, and, you know, I was welcomed at that meeting, and if, you know, I really enjoyed it. Then I came to volunteer, since I do video work, as we know, I came to volunteer at a few projects, at the chapter meetings, record, you know, I think there was a project at a specific lab that I, you know, recorded that, some of the chapter meetings. So I did volunteer video work and got to know Amy a little better through that. And then I had it in my mind that I would like to do a short documentary on kind of talking about FSH and specifically the impacts on family, the impacts on, you know, obviously the individual. And since I knew Amy over the years and knew her to be a very forthright person, very honest, very willing to describe her experiences, and she was just so knowledgeable about FSH, it kind of clicked in me. You know, this is when things were opening back up after the pandemic, so I knew there might be an opportunity. I thought, I'm going to reach out to Amy and see if she'd like to participate in this project. So that's pretty much how it came about.
Okay. So was it then, I mean, I guess I'm like, get us in the room. Like, we're flying on the wall, you know, and you approach Amy, or is she calling you? And is it, hey, I got this idea. Like how did that, you know, brainstorming start?
Yeah. So basically I just reached out to Amy. Things were opening up again after, you know, after the heart of the pandemic. So I asked her if she would be, you know, I kind of gave her, hey, I have this idea. a relatively simple project, me just sitting down, you know, for starters, me sitting down and speaking with you mm-hmm. about FSH, about your experiences, to educate and to basically just share what, you know, like I said, your experiences coming from a very honest, you know, knowing you to be very forthright and honest, I think you would be great for this project. Would you like to work on it? And she was just pretty much immediately like, yes, let's do it. The great thing about a short documentary like this is it can be very simple in terms of production, mm-hmm. in terms of, so basically it was just me and Amy sitting down, and speaking and her speaking to me, with the camera and, I went to her place. That was the most convenient. We mm-hmm. set up there. It was just me doing camera, audio, lighting, all that. And basically we just took a few, after I set up, which took, a little longer since it was just me, but she was very patient. Yeah. And we recorded for, maybe like an hour long interview okay. or less. And that was basically how it started. Does that answer pretty much?
I guess I always find that intriguing, we always see the finish, the finished project, and you say, short documentary, but no one knows the back work. You see the finish and it's like, oh, that looked like that was pretty simple. It's like, all these ideas. And you mentioned the lighting, the sound. And I always find that part very, very interesting. And I think others do too. What does it take even to do a short documentary?
Yeah, and with this type of project, it really, a lot of the time spent is in post-production editing the project, any research that you do that's added to it, a lot of, I was told one time, many years ago, there's sometimes a very specific line that resonates with you, and a filmmaker told me, the most important thing that you always have to remember with any film you do is to entertain. Mm. And, sometimes I think as filmmakers, we can, everyone wants to be entertained by what they're watching. And entertain may sound, when you're doing a drama or when you're doing a project that's rather serious, I want to say, or has a very serious subject matter, entertain may not always sound like the proper term to describe it, but yet I feel it still is, because how people and Amy being such a great speaker, natural speaker, very honest, very willing to share difficult experiences, that in a sense is entertaining in the way because it's able to present this information in a way that's very captivating. And so then my job as a filmmaker and as an editor is to capture that. And through at the interview process, because I was so knowledgeable about this particular subject, like I mentioned growing up with it, I didn't have to do as much research as I might do on some projects because I'd already kind of lived a lot of this, and the questions that occurred to me to ask Amy were already kind of in my mind. I just had to organize them, and and something that was very personal to me specifically was the effects on family or the effect on someone who was growing up with someone with a disease, and right. So Amy lived both of those because she grew up with someone who had the disease. And then later she had symptoms of the disease and has lived with it for all these years. So, I feel like my job was very, because she was so great, it made my job obviously much, much easier. That's what made the film. The post-production does take quite a bit of time because on top of all the technical things, you find ways to augment the story visually and make it more make it resonate more, make it more entertaining, so to speak.
Yeah. So with all that back end work after the actual, you know, working with Amy directly, you just mentioned the editing and things, how much time do you put into a short documentary? Like what was the, I guess kind of like, what was the final runtime of the documentary you made with Amy? And then how much time did that actually take to produce?
I wish I had a bit. I always tell myself for projects, I'm going to keep, you know, for the passion projects I do, so to speak, that I will track my time better. But I will tell you, yeah, I didn't track hour by hour, although it would be nice to know, especially for the post-production. The film itself was about 12 minutes. Mm-hmm. It wound up being, the time between when we recorded the interview and when the final cut of the film was complete might have been maybe 4 or 5 months, I'm guessing. Wow. You know, that's not like full-time work on the film.
Oh, right.
You know, it's juggling it with many, many projects. But I think that's I felt like it was a pretty fast turnaround. And that's in the sense that, you know, obviously you hear stories of documentaries, you know, full documentaries that are like 10 years in the works. And, yeah. And so it wasn't like that. It was, you know, I tried to get a pretty quick turnaround. But in terms of the hours, you know, like I said, I'm juggling it with other projects, with my day job. So it's a lot of like evening editing and stuff like that.
Still, and you mentioned it, right? Passion project. So it's got that in there, and that's probably why you didn't think to like, oh, I'm going to track all the minutes, right? Because you kind of flow in it. It's something that comes out of you a little bit as like a natural. This is how I want to spend my time, and you have passion for it. And so, yeah, I think I can relate to that for sure. I think a lot can. You know, when you're kind of in your wheelhouse of what you really love to do, time doesn't seem to be the issue. It's more like you want more time for it. Not necessarily, you know.
Exactly. And I feel, for me personally, when I'm editing a project, mm-hmm. there needs to be a certain amount of time that has to occur for it to really come out the way I want it. Meaning, like if you say, hey, could you edit, you know, for this type of passion project where I'm kind of really thinking about, you know, and I like to have a deadline because it pushes me forward, but I also like to have enough time to kind of let it sit a little bit and think it through, because that's just how ideas occur to me. One day an idea will occur to me that wouldn't have occurred the day before, and just kind of sitting on it, having that ability to put it aside can be very valuable. So
that's good. Yeah. I like the way you explained it that way. Absolutely. Yeah. You want to give it its time to marinate and give it the time that it needs. It almost like, you know, when it's where it needs to be and telling that story properly. How about the title? Reinventor, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Reinventor. Yeah. So a couple times in the course of our interview, Amy mentions, you know, as I sat down and listened to it, I noticed she mentioned a couple times that she continually has to reinvent herself due to the progressive form of the disease and the symptoms that progress and get, you know, and get worse over time and don't always and don't allow her to do perhaps this something she did today she can't do tomorrow because of that. So she has to reinvent herself. And so I know she mentioned that a couple of times, and I found it pretty fascinating and very interesting. And a big part of what she talked about, it was her ability to reinvent herself, to find new passions in her life, to find ways to address some of the progression of the disease. So that, I don't know. I mean, it's kind of, I guess maybe it is on the face of it, a little bit of a strange title, but it just kind of came to me, and that's what I went with. It seemed to describe her, very well.
Yeah. I felt the same way once you watch it, but it's a title that gets your attention because you want to know why is it that, you know, why is it titled that? And I think it does spell itself out. I think it, it's a good title, to be honest with you. So, because it's like, we're all constantly adapting, reinventing. You said it perfectly, but you've lived it. You've seen it in your family and how you have to adapt. And I think sometimes people do forget how much the family adapts or the people around them, the loved ones, caregivers, et cetera. But definitely from your point of view is, you know, the family. Do you think then with this type of documentary that you've made, do you think this kind of helps give the families a little bit more of a voice than just always, you know, the person with the disease, that it does, you know, go beyond just the patient or the person directly affected? There is layers to it.
I think so, for sure. I mean, because I know, like, a lot of things that I wanted to speak to Amy about came from that perspective. And I think, like I mentioned, she in her life has had both perspectives as a youth that had a family member that had a severe form of the disease that and then later, you know, as someone that has the disease and sees the progression personally. So I think it does really resonate with, you know, with a family giver, a caregiver or a family member, as well as really anyone. I feel like this kind of story is very important to hear for really anyone to see the kind of the way that someone is able to tackle, so to speak, this disease, and the way they are able to give back, in the sense that to help others and to use their experiences in such a positive way to help others and to educate them. And I saw a lot of this growing up with my father. I just recall him being on the phone all the time talking to, and you know, back then it was, you know, obviously there was less information out there. You know, we had no, I'm speaking about before the internet, before, you know, where there was, you know, even less information in terms of, and less ability for someone to find someone that they could get information from about, you know, a rare disease and give them support. My dad definitely had that in him. I mean, he was always willing, and I just, you know, I just remember walking through the house and hearing him, you know, talking a lot to different people who called in who were unsure about what was happening. And he had he was a very empathetic person. He was, you know, he would share his experiences. He would be honest with them about it too. So,
that was a great answer.
Yeah.
I kind of led then, maybe this is almost like, like a two part. You know, as you're talking about your father, and I can sense, obviously, you going into your memory a little bit in it all. So it kind of two part, you know, what's been the response that you've received so far from this documentary with Amy? And the other part maybe is, what would you think your dad would say?
Yeah. So far, I mean, the response has been great in terms of, you know, I've been to a couple screenings of the film. I was at a very small premiere private screening with Amy and some of her friends, and everyone was seemed very moved and very, had some really awesome comments about the film. Things like, wow, I'd like to see a full documentary about, nice. You know, I want more or whatever. So that was great. And I've been to a couple screenings, one in Las Vegas, one in LA, very positive from feedback from the audiences there about the story. So that's great. I mean, obviously, yes. Your goal when you do a project like this is you want it to be seen by as many people as possible, and you know, you want it to impact people. So the second part was, how my dad would feel about it.
Yeah.
I think he would be super excited, and I mean, I want to say like proud that yeah. we created this film and took the time to make it. He was someone who was so involved with the disease because he also researched it. You know, his background was in research in microbiology. So he also was extremely knowledgeable about it. He was a reinventor, I guess I would say also. He shared that with Amy. I recall him designing this contraption that basically, you know, as the disease progressed, that allowed him to move his hands in a way that he could continue to be actually in the lab, you know, doing his, you know, under the, I'm sorry, my terminology, I didn't wind up becoming a scientist, but basically just right hands on doing the experiments, with, you know, like I said, this was years ago. This is well before Amazon and a lot of things that come up to me. And so he built this thing to basically hold his arms up so that he could still be the person doing this hands-on research. So, you know, he was a reinventor too. And so I think he would be very happy to see that years later, we, Amy and I collaborated on this film and that it's getting seen and that people are it's resonating with people. Yeah,
I think I would agree. Yeah, I think he would be very proud of the work that it is. So then lastly, then, you know, if people want to find out a little bit more about the work you do, I know that they can find the documentary on YouTube and things, but I'd love for you to kind of, you know, direct people the right path where to find this documentary and then other work that you're doing.
Yeah, probably the best. I need to do a little better about keeping it up to date, but you can go to www.stephenjakeproductions.com. That's my website. And if there's a specific, you know, you can also send an email from that website, and I definitely would be, would love to communicate with anyone that wants to see more of my work or has any additional questions about the film. So there, you can send an email from that website. So it's www.stephenjakeproductions.com. And I think that's the best. You can also find me on Instagram at sjakevideo.
Sjakevideo. Nice.
Yeah. Okay. Stephenjakevideo. Sorry.
Yes,
yeah, Stephen Jake.
Yeah, the website's beautiful, and I think people should check it out. There's a lot of great things on there, including a trailer for this great documentary, The Reinventor. So, thank you, Jared, for being on.
I think both will pull it up, but StephenJakeVideo.com.
Oh, Jake Video.
StephenJakeVideo.com. So yeah, maybe I'll. Yeah, thanks for having me. It's been great chatting about the film, and I really appreciate it.
Yeah, appreciate your time. Thanks, Jared. Well, anybody else too, make sure that you check out his website. And of course, thanks for joining us again for another FSHD Society Radio Show, Hot Off the Press episode, and we'll see you next time. Take care.